Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion, etc., etc. We are going to look at the point number 37. Last Sunday we did point number 36. We want to jump to point number 37 on your scripts. And it reads that leadership is working with people, not for people. God said, let us make man. He didn't say, let me make man. He said, let us. That means that he does things with people. So you need to understand leadership, the kind of leaders that God is grooming for his work, his kingdom work in this end time. They are going to be leaders who understand that they are not working for people. They are working with people. It sounds very spiritual. It sounds very wonderful to say that you are working for people. It sounds sacrificial. It sounds high. But really, the kind of leaders God is raising are not to be people who are working for people, but they should be working with people. So leadership is working with people. Leadership is actually like a relay. In athletics, you have a relay. And in the relay, people, a team, just get into the tracks. One runs and gives the baton to the other, and the other moves and gives the baton to another. In a typical 400 relay, you have about four people or so who are running. So that is how you need to understand leadership, not as a marathon where you alone, you run the full length, so to speak, but you understand it as a relay where you run with other people, okay? So that you run a race with people and you do not run the race alone. Hallelujah. We need to understand leadership that way. When you look at people who run in a relay, you see that there is a starter, and then there is somebody who, as it were, specializes in cutting the corner when it comes to the 200 meters, cutting that lap. You see, when we were in school, we used to have somebody who was very good at that. He would cut the corner, and people would be flowing him with fans. You see, that is how God has designed things, so that we learn to look at other people's abilities, and then we work with people. Actually, if you look at the example of God the Father, he said, let us make man in our image, and God handed the baton to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ ran for about 33 years on this earth, and he handed the baton to the Holy Spirit, and he is now, as it were, we are in his dispensation. But ultimately, the baton we handed over to God also, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says that after Jesus Christ has done everything, the Holy Spirit will hand over also to Jesus, you know. And then Jesus will complete the race, so to speak. And then he would hand over the kingdom and everything to God, so that God will become all in all. So that is how God wants us to understand leadership. And that is how he runs himself. Okay. So it's wonderful to have this kind of understanding. If you are minded as a leader that you are working for people, it gives an image of the people being aloof and you alone involved in the work. You see, God wants us to work with people, and when you are working with people, that is how he has designed it to be. Because when you are working for people, it is as if the person is aloof and you are the one who is doing it. There are four things that I want to bring to your attention if you work for people. Four things which are not good, which are bad. Number one, when you are working for people or for somebody, you feel the person owes you. You know, you become pay conscious. So every time you are looking for recognition, you are looking for people to say that, well, you have done well and things like that, you know, because you don't have an understanding of working with people. Your understanding is that you are working for people. It's a bad psychology to have as a leader. Okay, so you don't have to work for people. You have to work always with people. Number two, when you work for people, your focus is on what you do. You focus more on what you do, not on the system, not on the general picture. Because you believe you are working for somebody, your preoccupation is what you are doing. And that is not a good disposition. You need to work with people, and that gives you a general picture. A general picture. Right. So that is how bad working for people can result in. It makes you myopic. It makes you focus on yourself and what you are doing, and it's not a good picture. It makes you focus on your sacrifice, that everybody owes you because you have done something that nobody has done. Number three, when you work for people, you feel that monkey the work, baboon the chop. You are so sacrifice conscious because you are doing it for the church of the Lord. You are doing it for the believers. Okay? But you must always have the understanding of doing it with believers. It saves you from getting bitter that you are doing something for them and they are not appreciating it. Or you do all the sacrifice and the labor and some other people are just enjoying. Number four, and the final thing, is that if you work for people, you feel used. You feel like a slave and you feel alone. You feel alone. You feel that you are doing the thing alone. You have no sense of responsibility when you are working for somebody. Because, well, the thing doesn't belong to you. I'm doing it for him. The thing belongs to whoever is your employer you are working for. It's a very bad, unbiblical disposition to have. You see, God wants us to have a joint ownership kind of disposition to everything, his work. He shares it with us. And everything, it's a sharing. So that is how bad the psychology of working for people is. If you're a leader, you must move out of that thing. Because unbeknown to you, you see that that thing is affecting you. It's affecting the way you are looking at the people. You see, because I'm doing it for you. You see, it affects the way that you perceive even yourself, that you are the burden carrier. And things like that, it affects how you see your expectations from the people, that they should do something for me, you know, because I'm doing something for them. Right, let's look at how wonderful it is to work with people. You must understand the Bible says that we are laborers with God. We are laborers with God. We are not laboring for God, we are laboring with God. It's wonderful to know that you are laboring with God. If you are laboring for God, what happens is that you think that God is aloof. God is standing somewhere. He's not involved in the thing. You see? But when you are laboring with God, you know that God is with you in what you are doing. And actually, he is the burden bearer of the work that has been given unto you. So number one, if you work with people, it's wonderful. There you get to see that burdens are shared. It eases pressure on you just to think or have this mentality that I am working with God, I'm working with people. Okay? It eases pressure on you. No one should carry burdens alone. It is not good. God himself made the first observation that it is not good for you to do your assignment, as it were, alone. It's a relay. You run hard. You give it to somebody. He runs hard. He gives it to the other person. At the end of the day, the race has been run, not as a marathon by one person, but by a team. That's how God works. Let us make man. So, it's wonderful. It's wonderful that the making of mankind is not just one man's work. And as I say that, when God said in our text, Genesis 1:20, says, let us make man in our image. Of course, he was talking about Adam, but more than Adam, he was thinking about mankind being made, all of us being made into the image of God. and it takes a whole process of running and giving it to Jesus, and Jesus running and giving it to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit giving it to Jesus, Jesus surrendering the kingdom, as it were, to the Lord. So number two, if you work with people, impossibilities become possible. Mark chapter 10 and then verse 27 says that with God all things are possible. Things are possible with God. It's not for God all things are possible. So that's a lesson for all of us. If you study the Bible, you get to see that whenever people work together, impossibilities become possible. When you work with God, impossibilities become possible. When you work with people, God says that even what is conceived will be achieved. So you need to understand that things don't work because it is for God, but because it is with God. You know, God doesn't want us to go our own way to do our own thing. King Saul learned that bitter lesson. He said, oh, all these things I've left, God, it's for you, it's for you. I want to sacrifice all of these things for you. But God did not, God was not in it, you know, because he told him to go and destroy everything. So you need to watch. You need to watch. You have to do things that God is with you in. You have to do the things that God says you should do. We are moved by the word of God. What God says we should do is what we should do. Because things work when we are doing it with God. When we are doing it for God, there is no guarantee that the things will work. So Jesus said, in a lot of places, Luke chapter 1, he said the same thing to Mary, that with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Number three, working with people gives you the ultimate relationship. The ultimate relationship is that people will be with you, not that people will be for you. If you were a leader, and as God is grooming us to become leaders, the ultimate relationship that we must aspire to have is that people will be with us, not people will be for us. It's important. It's important. Okay? If you read Mark chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, I believe we are still in the book of Mark, it says about Jesus, he ordained 12 that they should be for him. No, he didn't say that. You see that he ordained 12, Mark 3:14 now, that they should be with him. That is the ultimate relationship every leader must have with the people he or she is leading. That it will be a with relationship, not a for relationship. For relationship sounds like, it doesn't sound proper. Yeah. Other people are for me. No, there you haven't. In fact, you are not really leading them. Yeah, it should be the people are with me. The people are with me. Okay, not for me. That one you are put on a certain pedestal that you do not belong. No, that is not the ultimate relationship. You can begin with a for people for you relationship, but believe me, that is not the ultimate relationship. The ultimate relationship God wants us to have with people is that they are with us, not for us. And it's wonderful, powerful. Number four, the final. Jesus, if you work with people, you will be like Jesus, because Jesus worked with people. Jesus didn't work for people. Jesus worked with people, with people. Even in going to the cross, he gave us the chance to work with him. When Simon of Cyrene had to be called to carry his cross, you see that Jesus graciously, he could carry the cross, he could carry the cross, but he was doing something as a man, not as God. So he was tired, and he gave us a chance to even work with him. Hallelujah. So I want us to have this psychology and this understanding about the kind of leaders God is raising. They have this with mentality, not a for mentality. It blesses, it eases pressure, It's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Now let's move to the next one. We want to look at point number 38, and we are saying that leadership is vision based, not person based. Visions should ultimately lead and not a person. Otherwise, there is no future. The leader himself should be led by the vision. Proverbs chapter 29 and then verse 18 is a very popular piece of scripture. It's a very preached and taught scripture. But it says that where there is no vision, the people perish. I heard the way a certain pastor put it in a very funny way. He said that if a pastor has no vision, the people don't just perish, but they change parish. They change parish. You know, this is a Nigerian preacher. He said the people no longer perish, but they change parish because they don't have a vision. So God is raising up leaders with what? Vision. Leaders who are vision led. He is raising institutions that are vision led and vision based, not person based. Because when the person dies and the institution is person based, the institution will collapse. There is no future for it that way. A person dies with his vision, so to speak. But if it is vision based, people can travel and come back, people can die and go, new people can come. But because it is vision based, that vision God gave will subsist and will get accomplished. So I want you to notice in Proverbs 29 verse 18, God did not say that where there is no leader, the people perish. He said where there is no vision, the people perish. So we need to understand the place of vision. Maybe we'll spend most of the time talking about this point about being vision based, the kind of kingdom leadership God is raising, being vision based and not person based. Now the first effect that the fall of mankind in Genesis chapter 3 did to us was that it affected the vision of humanity. All of a sudden, Adam saw that he was naked. That was the first effect. Adam ate the tree of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, and then his sight changed. He had been naked all along, but now he is seeing something he didn't see before. So that is the first effect of the fall of man affecting vision. So God desires in his restoration, so that we get back into the kingdom mode, that he restores kingdom vision to his people. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 15 and then verse 14. Matthew chapter 15 and then verse 14, Jesus is speaking. He says that, let them alone. Let them alone. Let's back up to 13. It's wonderful to read from there. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. And directly he was talking about teaching. Every teaching or doctrine which is not of my heavenly Father, it shall collapse. It shall be rooted up. And then he goes on to say, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. What is Jesus Christ saying? He's saying that there can be no leadership without vision. He says, if the blind leads the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So really, when he asked the question in another portion of scripture, he said, can the blind lead the blind? He was saying that without vision, there is no leadership. The blind in the Greek is a word that can also be translated opaque. Is like the lubes, you know, the opaque ones, the ones that we usually put down. Yeah, you can see through. When it's dark, you can see it's dark, but you can't see properly. That is the word Jesus was referring to. He says, can you have such a blurred vision and lead people? Can there be leadership when it's like that? No, the answer is no. There isn't real leadership without vision. Actually, the difference between the leader and a follower is what he sees, the sight or the vision. Okay, so Jesus says that, he says a principle, he states a principle. If the visionless, the opaque person leads another opaque person, both of them will end up in a pit. Both of them will end up in a pit. We shouldn't be opaque. May God give us vision in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Right. What is vision? Let's try and define what vision is, because vision is the first responsibility of leaders. Vision is a clear picture of how things must be in future. A clear picture of how things must be in future. So, in God preparing us to become leaders, what is the first thing that He would impact us with? Vision. What does it mean? It means that He will give us a picture of how He wants things to look like. And until you get that picture, you are not ready to lead. Where are you leading them to? When you have opaque eyes, as it were, you see like a smoke. In the Greek, it's like as if smoky. See, there's smoke. You can see, but you can't see. So, vision is a clear picture of how things must be like in future. And we all have to get that sight. We need to pray that God, give me a picture of how you want your church to be, how you want things run, how you want families run. Give me a picture of how you want it to be. When you get that, then you have a vision. And that is the first responsibility of leaders. It is to think about the future. If you're a leader, your first responsibility is to think about the future. Think about it. The Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We'll look at that a little deeper later. But if you should flip your Bibles to the book of Acts of the Apostles, I think chapter 2, you also get to see that God does not just want us to have visions, but He wants us to see visions, not have vision. Okay, so He says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, the young men shall see visions. In other words, it's going to be something that is practical, that is operational in their lives. It's not just that they have a vision. You can have a vision and not see the vision. Okay? You can have a vision. But you see, the benefit of the Holy Spirit coming upon us is that He makes us see what we have already. It's true. Holy Spirit makes us see what God has put in there already. That kind of blueprint for our lives. Holy Spirit just comes to activate it. So, when the Holy Spirit comes upon all flesh, the young men, not as if they don't have vision, they have it, but they will begin to see it. It becomes real, practical, as it were. Something that is really, really affecting them. You know, really, really affecting them. Then, that vision that they have whether it's for their lives or for their institutions or for the church of the Lord, that vision is going to be so real, they're going to see it, it's going to be a conviction that draws them. Now the vision takes over, it draws you. So actually, vision is a conviction that draws a leader forward. And that conviction comes when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. He gives us such a sight, such a conviction, that conviction literally draws us forward. So you do not really have a vision. The vision must have you. Ask yourself as you are listening, do I have a vision that draws me towards my destination? Hallelujah. Or you kind of control the vision. The vision must control you. Hallelujah. Wow. A leader without a vision is like a car without an engine. You're a car, all right, but you don't have an engine. You don't have life. Vision gives life to a leader. Actually, vision begs or gives birth to leadership. It's not the other way around. It is not as if the leader comes and determines a vision. It is a vision which is there that determines the kind of leader that is needed. Do you think that God created Adam and Eve or mankind and God said, I will find some vision or I give you a vision? No, God had something in mind. He had a vision for the earth and he created leaders, born leaders, all human beings, to fulfill that vision. So it is a vision that made God create people to achieve what he has for the future of this earth. So vision gives birth to leadership, and it is not the other way around. Moving on, let's say that vision is everything for a leader. It is a life of the leader. A vision leads the leader. The vision also sparks and fuels the fire within him and draws him forward. Moving forward, vision also lights the fire within those who follow the leader. Vision lights the fire within those who follow the leader. So what happens is that a vision is God's way of uniting people. It brings unity and focus and makes leadership possible. Now let's note some six things or so about leadership, about vision. Some things to note about vision. Number one, vision starts within. Vision starts within. The word is start. It starts within. You cannot buy a vision. You cannot beg or borrow a vision. It comes from inside of a person. If you lack vision, I'll give you the way to get a vision, how to start. If you lack vision, look inside you. Draw it from your natural desires, sometimes from your gifts or callings. So if you want to know God's vision for your life, you have to learn to listen inside. Because the Spirit of God who is inside of you will send the details of God and reveal it to your spirit. What God has got for you will be revealed to your spirit. It's deep inside. That's how it starts. Sometimes you look inside and you find difficulty and all that. I'll show you another way out. You then have to hook up with somebody whose vision resonates with you. You see, sometimes God is directing you to somebody. You see that person, his vision, when he talks about it, it's as if it's yours. It's as if it's your thing that he's talking. You see, the thing resonates with you. The person's spirit is feeding you all the time. You know, perhaps God is indicating to you that your vision is around that kind of thing that the person seems to talk, articulate clearly about, and the thing resonates with you, and it's as if it's my vision. That's how I want things to be. Then you have to hook up with that person whose vision resonates with you. Helen Keller said something, and Pastor began to share with us about vision and made a quote from Helen Keller. I'll give you another quote from this American, about 20th century icon. she said something. She said, you know, she was deaf and she was blind, but she said something, quote, the tragedy of life is not that we die. In other words, she's saying that no, death is not a tragic thing. It's not a tragic thing. The tragedy of life is not that we die, but what dies inside a man whilst he lives. I'm serious. Because we all say that, oh, as we would do, I'll say if he comes to take our loved ones away, you see that death is a bad thing. But she is saying that there's something that is worse than death. That is being alive and having something die inside of you. That is talking about the vision. It was in the breath of that that she said that. No. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.